Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. Emily asked me the other day what I was going to speak on. I jokingly said I was going to speak on the Nazarites because it's now No Shave November. So, okay, well, I thought it was a lot funnier than you thought it was. But actually, I'm going to speak on a topic that we addressed a little bit on Sunday evening. I want you to think for a minute just of the first thing that comes to your mind when I say these next couple of things. What do you think of when I say Enron, Yugo, Goldman Sachs? What do you think of?
Greed.
Okay. Do you think of positive things?
No.
No, probably not. Maybe if you think of Enron and Goldman Sachs, you think of, you know, money-hungry companies. Maybe if you think of Yugo, you think of a product that didn't go over so well. You think of companies that have a bad reputation. It's interesting that Forbes magazine puts out every year the top 30 best companies by way of reputation. And they've got some index that they measure this on. And those companies that are in the top five include Google, which I found this on Google, so I'm a little worried about that. But Google, Disney, Rolex, BMW, Sony, companies that historically you think of as reliable, companies that have a good reputation. Last Sunday evening, we studied from Proverbs chapter 22, and it's from that I want to take a little bit more of a deeper dive. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, we have this said to us: a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So this morning we're going to talk about a good name. We're going to talk about reputation. We're going to talk about what people think of you and what you think of people. So just by way of outline, we're just going to address three things. The first is, what is a good name? The second is, the value of a good name. And the third thing is, how do we obtain a good name? So those are the three things that we'll address this morning. I don't think anything I have to say is going to be earth-shattering. I think you know these things. But I think it's good that we are reminded about our good name. So let's look at that first question. What is a good name? Well, I sort of hinted at it already, but a good name is your reputation. It's what people think or believe about you. Have you ever wondered what people think or believe about you? There's some people who will tell you, and maybe that's not always a good thing, but have you ever wondered? I think it's natural for us to wonder. I wonder what so-and-so thinks about me. I mean, we shouldn't make that the driving force in our decisions, but I think it's good for us to be concerned about what people think about us, our reputation. That's what Proverbs chapter 22 is about. It's a good name is better than a whole lot of other things. We should, in some ways, be concerned about our good name, about our reputation, about what people think and believe about us. But it's very interesting that our reputation, our name, is not necessarily based in fact and is not necessarily always accurate. Let me give you some examples. Let's just go to some examples in the Bible. Think about, for example, the purported reputation of Jesus. Remember what we read in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 19. Jesus here is talking about what other people say about him. So he says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." See, Jesus is talking about his reputation. He says, "I came and I ate and I drank with people who were sinners." Remember, Jesus here, shortly after this, talks about those who are well don't need a physician. It's those people who are sick. So Jesus goes to the people who need him. And what is the reputation that people say about him? Oh, a glutton, a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was the reputation that some people had. That was what they thought of Jesus. But what does Jesus say? But wisdom is justified by her children. Well, fruits will show whether or not those things are true. Think about the Pharisees. They talked a good talk, but they really didn't walk the walk, did they? Jesus tells them in Matthew 23:27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Now, Jesus saw right through the Pharisees, but they had a reputation, didn't it? Their reputation was, oh, hey, these are the holy people. These are the people who we ought to look up to as it involves how we should serve God. But Jesus knew that that reputation, their name, that really wasn't who they were. They were just like tombs. They look good on the outside, but inwardly are full of rottenness. And it's not just something that can apply to people either. Companies, the church, can have a reputation that is not necessarily accurate. Remember what Jesus says in Revelation 21 to the church at Sardis? "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, 'These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead.'" See, their name, their reputation was that, hey, they're doing a lot of good things there in Sardis. But Jesus knew that that wasn't the case. And so likewise, it's also possible for to have a good reputation, but really be a bad person. I think we've talked a little bit about that. The Pharisees are one example. But maybe a more recent example that all of us I think most of us will know. Think for a minute about the former Subway spokesman Jared Fogle, right? His story was a feel-good story of extreme weight loss where, hey, let's have this guy be our spokesman. And he was the spokesman for Subway for years and years. He was paid to appear in Subway advertisements because he represented a good thing, a certain thing, a feel-good story. But in the end, that wasn't the whole truth about that man, was it? And as a result, some things were found out, and he is no longer representing that company. Well, why is that? Because his reputation was not true. There was something else there. So, a good name is our reputation. It's what people think about us. It's what people say about us. And a reputation is extremely valuable. The Bible speaks often about the value of a good reputation. We've looked at Proverbs chapter 22:1, just to remind you of it. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor, rather than silver and gold." I think this is really interesting. So let's compare. What would you rather have, a good name, or would you rather be wealthy? Well, think about the companies that we mentioned before. Enron was very wealthy. Goldman Sachs was very wealthy. But what has happened to them? They lost their good name. And as a result, what has happened? Those companies have lost their wealth. The same thing can be said of people, too. But those who have a good name, it's possible that in time wealth will find them. Of course, that's not the most important thing. Solomon writes there, "A good name is more important than great riches." In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon writes something similar. He says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." A good name is worth a lot, isn't it? It is extremely valuable. It's something that it's something that you should hold on to. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But to whom should we have a good name with? Well, most certainly we should have a good name within the church, shouldn't we? We as individual Christians, we ought to have a good reputation with other Christians. Now, all of us have a reputation with other Christians. We all do. That's just the nature of it. I have beliefs and feelings about every one of you. That is a reputation. But we are supposed to have a good reputation. Think about the qualifications for a deacon. Just as an example, in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, remember here the apostles were kind of being torn away from spiritual things and being asked to do physical things. And so this is what they say in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men And what's the first qualification? Of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. See, that was one of the first qualifications for those deacons, is that they're among them, and being among them, that they also had a good reputation. This is said of Cornelius as well. In Acts chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation amongst all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you." So here's a Gentile who served God, and he had a good reputation amongst the Jews, God's family at the time. Of course, it was transitioning from the Jews being God's chosen people to the church, but Cornelius was said to have had a good reputation. Ananias also had a good reputation, not Ananias and Sapphira, right? That Ananias ultimately has a bad reputation now, but Ananias, whom Paul met, Paul, in recounting his conversion in Acts, the 22nd chapter, and verse 12, says this of Ananias: "Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there." See, that's another way to describe having a good name, is that you have a good testimony. Well, people say good things about Ananias. And so, amongst the brotherhood, we ought to strive to have a good name. But it's also important for us to have a good reputation for those who are outside of the church. And when I say that, who do you immediately think of? Well, we talked about deacons. What is said of elders? It is a qualification for an elder to be spoken well of by those who are outside, those who are not in the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, speaking of the qualifications of the elder, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Right? If you are the leader of the local congregation, then it would make sense that you have a good reputation of those who are in the community. Imagine if an elder didn't have a good reputation in the community. Then what would happen? The whole church would look bad, wouldn't it? You're the leader of this group, and this is the kind of person you are. I wonder what everyone else is like. And really, in a very real sense, the same thing can be said about each and every one of us. That if we have a bad reputation in the community, then that projects on the congregation as well. And so elders, most certainly, one of the qualifications is that they must have a good reputation of those who are outside of the church. This same thing is said of two other individuals in the Bible. It's said of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, as Samuel lives with Eli and grows up in the community and grows up in the priesthood, it says there in 1 Samuel 2 and 26, "And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men." So Samuel was developing a reputation. Now he would need that later on when he would judge the people. And interestingly enough, this is also said of Jesus. Now, we read earlier how Jesus, through his ministry, people thought, "Oh, well, he's a glutton and a wine bibber." But when Jesus was young, this is what was said of him in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. This is just immediately after Jesus was 12 and was in the temple, and his family had left him and come back. Well, here's what it says: "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So Jesus was developing a reputation. I think it's interesting with these two people, it points to us something about our reputation. When do we develop our reputation? Well, in lots of ways, our reputation starts when we're young. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'll go meet up with someone who maybe I haven't seen for a very long time, and they'll say something like, "Well, I knew you when you were a kid." And I think, well, I hope I was good at the times when they knew me. But we develop reputations as children. We develop reputations as young adults. As we grow older, sometimes those reputations stick with us. I can remember that as a kid, I can remember my dad was quite the jokester, And there came a point in time in his life where he really wanted to shed that reputation. And I don't remember what it was, if it was a 40th birthday or what it was, but he made a concerted effort to try to kind of get rid of that playful reputation. And I think you can change your reputation, but sometimes the reputations that we develop when we're younger stick around with us. But the point is, it's good for us to have a reputation, a good reputation, a good name within the church and without outside of the church. And so why does it matter for us to have a good reputation in the world? Well, this is in one way how we're a light to the community. Just like it would be a negative thing if we had a bad name in the community and people would project that on the church. If you have a good reputation in the world, then it helps you when you speak with others about Jesus. In Philippians 2:14-15, this is what Paul says to the Philippians. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Have you ever worked with someone? This is just a perfect example of this. Have you ever worked with someone and you don't really work real close with them? You sort of know them. And through the course of time, you find out that they're a member of the Church of Christ. You're like, you know what? I kind of knew that all along, didn't I? There's a couple of people that I used to work with up at the hospital at Cox South that were that way. I found out that, they're a member at this and such congregation. And you know, you're not really surprised by it. You thought, okay, I kind of thought that would be the case. And why is that? Well, because there's something about the demeanor of a Christian that in the world is different. And so we are in that way a light to the world. Wouldn't you like to have a workforce of all Christians? I mean, that would be wonderful. So it's important for us to have a good reputation to the world because it helps us to teach to the world. Let's spend the rest of our time answering this question. How do we obtain a good name? So we know what it means to have a good name. We know that it is about our reputation, what people say about us, what people think. It's what the testimony of people is. We know to whom we must have that good reputation, to those who are outside the church and those who are inside the church. So how do we obtain a good name? Well, in some ways, it's a very simplistic question, isn't it? It'd be like asking, well, how do you get smarter? Well, you study, you read, you work at it. A good reputation is something like that. It's something that requires work. It's something that requires time. Now, you can get a reputation by not working hard, by not taking time, but that's not a good reputation. To develop a good reputation, to have a good name, requires work on our part. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's not something that you can purchase, although people have certainly tried. You know about this? People, you can buy a reputation. It's sort of a strange thing. There's companies that are kind of on the, I don't know, on the borderline. There's a company or a, I don't know if I'm saying a company right or just the process, but reputation defender. They defend your online reputation. Well, really, what are they doing? They're getting rid of all the negative things that are said about you so that only the positive things are what people can find if they look you up on the internet or something. But in a very strange way, people have tried to buy good reputations. Amazon, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with, which is one of the largest online retailer, has sued over 1,000 people because they were paid to publish fake five-star reviews for mediocre products. I've always wondered if that kind of stuff happens. So I buy something, or Emily buys something on Amazon, and it comes, and you're like, this is not what I thought I was buying. You go back and check the reviews, and it's just all a bunch of five-star reviews. And you think, I wonder how many of those are legitimate and how many of those are not. Well, come to find out, There is a website called Fiverr.com where you can go sign up and get paid to basically log into Amazon and give various products 5-star reviews. Now, I don't know if that website still exists, but that was the source of this lawsuit, that this company was paying people. I'm sure that company was being paid by the people trying to sell things on Amazon, but they were paying people for phony reviews. There have been a number of other companies who offer fake Facebook reviews or Yelp reviews. And there was a journalist who created a fake business and then started drumming up a reputation for that fake business. It's just funny, right? Because there's irony there. I actually find it quite humorous that here you're trying to buy a good reputation, people find out about it, and what happens to you? You have a terrible reputation. So obtaining a good name is not something that you can get through money. I spoke earlier how a good reputation or a good name isn't always accurate. A reputation is an opinion. It's not the real thing. Abraham Lincoln had this to say. He described it in this way. Character is like a tree, and reputation like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of. The tree is the real thing. And isn't that so true? If you want a good reputation, what's the first thing you should do? Be good. Right? If you want a good name, well then be good. Be of good character. So that's the first thing that we can do if we want to obtain a good name, is to be a good person. It's just that simple. It's just as simple as saying, how do I get smarter? Well, you get smarter by studying. How do I have a good reputation? Well, you be good. Instead of trying to appear one way, just be that way. If you want to have a good name, then be good. The second thing is do the little things. Sometimes people think that a good name is accomplished by a collection of big actions. That's really not how it works. They think, well, I'll give some money so that my name can be put on a building or something like that, and people will remember me when I'm gone. But the Bible paints a very different picture of what it takes to have a good name. It's not the big things that we do in life. It's the collection of small things. And let me give you an example. Let's turn to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, we find the story of a woman at Simon's house. And I'll just pick up the story in verse 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. This is Jesus, sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why is this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whatever you wish you may do, and whenever you wish you may do good, do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Think about that. This woman, she took oil, expensive oil, and she anointed Jesus' head. She was criticized for it. In the moment, people looked at it and said, hey, whoa, we could have sold that. We could have done a whole lot of good for the poor with that. But Jesus says, no, you're going to have the poor with you always. But she's doing a good thing. And then what does he say about her? Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. We don't even know this woman's name. Right, you think about this. We don't know her name. But what lives on? Her reputation. She has a good name without even us knowing her name. It's this seemingly small thing that she did that is remembered and taught always. We're talking about it now, some 2,000 years later. And the Bible is full of people who have done these things. They did something small, maybe something large, and as a result, they have a good name. They have a reputation. They're recorded in the Bible for us to know about. You know, we're in the book of Nehemiah and on Wednesday nights. And there's a list, a chapter that lists all the names of the people who worked on the wall. And we read that today and we think, man, this is a boring chapter. But what is that? What is that? That's a record for us of the good deeds that someone did thousands of years ago. Think about Dorcas, Jairus, Anna, Rahab, Justice. The list goes on and on and on. People who are recorded in the Bible for us, something small that they did that gives them a good reputation even to this day. So be of good character. Do the little things and be faithful. That's the third thing we can do to develop a good reputation. Be faithful. Twice in Hebrews 11, a chapter about faith, we're told that faith leads to a good testimony. In Hebrews 11, the first two verses, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, what? Obtained a good testimony. By what they obtained a good testimony? By faith. So by faith, these people obtained a good testimony. Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 39. And all these people, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. See, if we want to have a good reputation, particularly with God, if we want to have a good reputation with God, a good name with God, have faith. Be faithful. Now, I think these passages are addressing our good testimony with God. But I think and do believe that faith or faithfulness will also garner us a good name amongst people. Well, think about this. Can people count on you? Are you reliable, faithful? If you are, then you have a good name. Emily and I were having a conversation yesterday. We're needing something done at our house, and it's kind of taken a while for it to happen. And the folks that built our house are going to help with it. We just can't get it to happen. And Emily said, I'm sorry, the people I work with are so unreliable. I mean, there's a reputation there. If you have faithfulness in that you follow through with what you say you're going to do, if you're reliable and trustworthy, you develop a good name within the community, within the world. Consider what we're told in Psalm 15. I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. It's only five verses. But think about this idea of having good character. Think about being faithful and think about doing the small things as we read this chapter. Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does all these things shall never be moved. This is a good example of having good character, of doing little things and being faithful. The thing that stands out to me is there in verse 4. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You ever been in that situation where you say you're going to do something and then circumstances change? You're like, I better stick with what I said, even though it's not in my best interest anymore. Whenever I think about Proverbs 22, I think about a situation that happened when I was a kid. And I don't know, maybe this some of these things have happened to you. Or, I don't know why this sticks in my head, but when I was a kid, I played baseball. And we had games on Sunday night and Wednesday night. The Sunday night games were 6 o'clock and 8:30. And so the 6 o'clock game, we'd always miss part of it. And I could always be at the 8:30 game just right on time. I don't really remember all of the circumstances, but I think the coach had talked to my dad about, well, you know, we're going to be short a player. It was a 6 o'clock Sunday game. Can you do anything to make sure Ben can come play? And I don't know why my dad decided to do this, but we decided that, okay, well, Gregory, their services start at this particular time, and that's going to allow us to go to services, and then we'll come to the game, and we'll be at the game right on time. And so we head off, drive up to Raytown to go to Gregory. We get there, and the doors are closed. They had afternoon services. We didn't know. And so now my dad's in a dilemma. And I can remember driving in the car to the baseball field and wondering, why are we going to the baseball game? I thought we'd just go to church, and I missed the first half of the baseball game. That's what we'd always done. It wasn't a big deal to me, but it was a big deal to my dad. He had told the coach, I'll make sure that he's there. And we had made arrangements so that we could still meet with the Saints. And so we went to the baseball game, and I missed church services on Sunday. I don't know, something about that just sticks with me. And in the conversation from the Gregory building to the ball field, I remember my dad telling me, well, you know what we're told in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I gave my word, and we're going to follow through. I don't know, it just always still sticks with me. And maybe it sticks with me because a good name is very fragile. In many ways, it's like China. Once it breaks, it's never going to be completely fixed. Benjamin Franklin puts it this way. It takes many good deeds to build a good reputation, but only one bad one to lose it. You ever think about that? I mean, just one bad thing ruins a reputation. I'm sure that Enron and Goldman Sachs and Hugo did some great things, but that's not what we remember them for. And because our reputation is fragile, we ought to protect that good reputation. Proverbs 25:8-10, do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he hear it. Lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Be careful. Don't go slinging mud with your neighbor publicly, because other people might find out about the things that you wouldn't want others to know, and your reputation be ruined. Be careful. Protect your reputation. In Romans 14:16, it says this, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Don't let it happen. Don't let the good things that you do be turned somehow into evil. Defend your good name. See, there's always going to be people who are going to despise what is good. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. See, people who are evil, they think it's strange when you do good. And what do? They in turn speak evil of you. Be careful with your reputation. In the world, what do we call that? We call that defamation, right? If someone speaks evil of you and it's not based on anything, that they've taken your good and made it evil, that's defamation. And before the laws of this country had laws against defamation, God's laws in the Old Testament had commands against defamation. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, beginning in verse 13, this is what it says. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, I took this woman and when I came to her I found she was not a virgin, then the father and mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidences of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take that man and punish him. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give him to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on the virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her at all his days. This is interesting, right? Here's this whole sort of odd situation, but it's about a reputation, right? It's a reputation not just of the woman, but of the family. Well, we gave our daughter to you, and she was exactly as we said she was. And yet now you're saying something different. You see, you're tarnishing her name. And so as a result, there was a punishment. I find it interesting that the punishment here is a fine, and not something more severe, but what has happened now? The bad reputation is not on the young woman, is it? Now the bad reputation is on the man. And so that in and of itself is a punishment. So as we talk about a good name, we know what a good name is. It is our reputation. It's the testimony others make of us. We know that it is valuable and is to be defended. And we know how we can obtain a good name. But in the end, the only reputation that matters is the reputation that we have with God. What testimony is Jesus going to make of us when we stand before Him at Judgment Day? Is He going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will He say, depart from me, I never knew you? You see, our name, in the end, is all we'll have. And it won't just be a reputation in the sense that it's our someone else's opinion of us. It will be our character. It won't be the shadow, it will be the tree. Consider what Jesus would say of you as we stand and sing the invitation number. What is your reputation? If you find that it's not where it should be, you have an opportunity now, as you do at any time, to make it right. So please come forward as we stand and sing. 907.